Well, I want to pray. Lord Jesus, we just, again, thank you for us being here. Thank you for watching over us this past week, Lord, protecting us. Thank you for protecting Richard, Lord. Lord, heal these folks' body. Dahlia, Linda, Richard. Lord Jesus, thank you for healing us in so many ways. We give you glory. Thank you. Lord, you've got a message for us today. I just ask that you empower me to give it and that our hearts are open, our minds are clear. All the sleepiness of last night has left us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Jesus. Amen and amen. I'm going to give you a Christian counseling session this morning. I think it's good every once in a while to have a counseling session. And when we're done, I'm sure you want to thank me, but I'll settle for a $100 bill in the box going out. And that's a bargain. That's a lot cheaper than the real therapist, right? And if you wanted to put, love gift to Jerry on there, that'd be great. I've titled this counseling session, Nothing Has Changed If You Haven't Changed. Nothing has changed if you haven't changed. Now I want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and look at the first 8 verses quickly. Somebody holler when you're there. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Says this, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. This is probably the most quoted scripture when it comes to dealing with change. You can tell from that scripture that God knows change is going to take place. Unlike us, God, He loves change. He loves change. In fact, in His plans for you and me, change is a necessity. And if you want to walk with God in a greater way, you'll have to change. You'll have to change. But please understand that nothing changes if nothing changes. The statement, change is inevitable, misery is optional, is truer than many of us care to admit. Somehow, most of us imagine that it is possible to live, be comfortable and happy without change. Most of us think that. We're naturally repelled by change simply because we dislike it so much. It disturbs our sense of security. However, we can no more live and not have change than we can jump without the feeling of gravity. Folks, if this is you fighting change, you're fighting the wrong battle. Satan is robbing you of a better life. To live is to change. And any thought that we can actually avoid change is pure illusion. Just think about our history. Today, women have rights, the same rights as men, because of change. Because of change. You can try to resist change, attempt to keep the status quo, or decide you will stop resisting and trust God. Consider the relevance of this statement in Hebrews 12:1. It says, lay aside every weight. In other words, there are some things you must alter in order to change. There's some things that you need to do and allow God to make this change. There's a saying that goes like this, nothing changes if nothing changes, and if I keep doing what I've always done, I'll keep getting what I've always got. And I'll keep feeling what I've always felt. Regardless of your personal thoughts concerning those words, they are nonetheless true. Albert Einstein said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So, again, nothing changes if nothing changes. If I keep doing what I've always done, I'll keep getting what I've always got, and I'll keep feeling what I've always felt. Have you ever felt like you've been stuck in a rut? Amen. Guess what? Something needs to change. Something needs to change. What is the definition of a rut? Well, one of them is a fixed and boring routine. Anybody ever been there? Anybody besides me? Are you a rut runner? Is your rut getting wider and deeper and longer? You may consider your rut a comfortable place, but friends, you're just spinning your wheels and getting nowhere. Woodrow Wilson gave a very wise warning when he said, if you want to make enemies, try to change something. Change can be threatening. Why? Because change brings a level of uncertainty. And when we become uncertain, we are likely to develop a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. When the spirit of fear grips us, we can consciously or unconsciously refuse any change. Without change, we ultimately become ineffective. No one can improve or progress or develop in any area unless there are changes along the way. Change is not something to be feared. If the Holy Spirit is in command of your life, then you should willingly follow His lead without fear. But fear of change can happen to individuals, it can happen to marriages, it can happen to businesses. organizations, and unfortunately, some churches. Even the people of Jesus' day who were looking for and expecting the promised Messiah didn't accept him when he came. Jesus didn't come the way they expected. Jesus didn't behave the way they anticipated. Jesus didn't do what they had hoped. As a result, they rejected him. And they found that he was irrelevant. So they just hung on to their religious traditions. Many folks don't serve God at all for fear that he will change them. And he will. God does just that. He will change you. And if you haven't changed, then you probably haven't been serving the living Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The simple interpretation of this scripture is change. Change. Keeping traditions and rituals can be effective only as long as they are relevant. In the word, refusal to change is sometimes called stubbornness. The Bible talks about stubbornness some 28 times. In the word, refusal to change is stiff-necked. The Bible talks about stiff-necked 19 more times. Both of these descriptive words define those who refuse to change. Refuse to change. Please understand that God will not permit people to simply lead comfortable lives when their stubbornness and their stiff-necked behavior separates them from Him. We must change, folks. We must change. Amen. While truth never changes, times do change, people change, situations change, and methods change. So when our traditions are no longer relevant, we need to be open to change. Why? For to live is to grow. To grow is to change. I want to repeat that. For to live is to grow is to change. It's not smart to continue to do the same thing, believing that there will be a different result. It's just not smart. Many of us quote this simple truth, prayer changes things. However, it's not logical to pray when deep down inside you don't expect or want change to occur. Answered prayer brings change. Answered prayer brings change. Regardless of who likes or dislikes the results, prayer will change things. Amen. Brother and sister, it's not possible to change our past, but it is possible to change our present situation, which will ultimately change our future. So try prayer. Try prayer. Now, God wants us to enjoy life, to enjoy one moment at a time, and to live each day to its fullest. As we trust Him and surrender to His will, we can be assured that the future holds great promise. Amen. One of the most successful programs in helping people overcome their chronic struggles is the 12-step program. All 12-step recovery programs start essentially in the same way. Step one says, to be honest and recognize you are powerless to change. Powerless. I admit to myself that something's seriously wrong with my life. I've made a mess of my life. I confess to it. I will quit trying to play games with myself. I realized that my life has become unmanageable in many ways, and it is not under my control anymore. I will do things that I later regret, and I tell myself that I won't do them again, but I do. I keep on making wrong choices in spite of my regrets, my denials, my vows, my cover-ups, and my facades. The Bible gives us this word in Romans chapter 7, verse 19 and 20. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Step one is also recognize that your life is broken and you can't fix it. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. I've been broken. My life is in ruin. I am ashamed of the things I have done. When I look in the mirror, I can no longer stand to see what I see because that's not me. I am broken, so Lord, I'm giving it all to you. I'm ready for a change. Lord, put the shattered pieces of my life back together again. Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God wants to take your brokenness and my brokenness and put you together brand new. Remember, folks, nothing changes if nothing changes. Is there anyone here that understands about brokenness? Amen. Step two is the step of hope, faith, and realization. It is a giant leap toward God. In essence, it claims that in spite of all the failures in my life, all of the broken promises, the hard feelings, the disappointments, the failures, destructive behavior, hatred, anxiety, depression, and guilt, there is still hope. There's still hope. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And with Christ, all things are possible. I need God's help because I'm incapable of doing it myself. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Also in step two, one must recognize the power of God to restore through those three things, hope, faith, and realization. You must honestly confess, I can't make it on my own. I've tried it, but things continue to go from bad to worse. I need change. God, please help me change. So God brings us hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Romans 5:2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God restores our faith, folks. He restores our faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm standing in the midst of life's darkness. I don't know where the next step is going to take me, but I have faith that God will turn my situation around. Why? Realization. I realize that I have personally been responsible for the chaos in my life, but I also realize that Philippians 4:13 promises I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Step three is letting go and relinquishment. I made a conscious and willful decision to turn my will and all my life circumstances over to the care of God. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Now, folks, your problem doesn't have to be one of addiction for these steps to help you. In fact, these are essential first steps for any of us if we are going to progress in our walk with the Lord. Amen. Remember, change must happen in life. For to live is to grow, and to grow is change. You cannot remain in your present state and expect things to change. It won't happen. Nothing changes if nothing changes. When you determine to let go, then God is able to do what no other power can accomplish. Amen. Continually practice 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. If you want things to change, you must cast aside and cast off some negative things. Brothers and sisters, God does love you regardless of your present condition, but he refuses to leave you that way. He refuses. It is God's desire to help you become more and more like Jesus. But nothing changes if nothing changes. Amen? Maybe you don't agree with what the Word declares. You might be saying, I don't believe that God will allow me to endure such difficult times or possibly go to hell for my little indiscretions. After all, they're nothing compared to some people I know. Folks, I urge you, I beg you, pay close attention to these words in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators nor adulterers nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If you come to church every Sunday, you pay your tithes and offerings and sing the praise songs with enthusiasm, but you still have the same carnal mind, then nothing in your life will change. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Does God require a change in our carnal mind, our human thinking, our fleshly desires? Well, nothing changes if nothing changes. Remember Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Transform means to undergo a change, a genetic modification. A caterpillar is a beautiful creature, crawls around on the ground, but it's vulnerable to predators. And at some time in its life, it goes through a transformation, both physically and mentally. The transformation physically causes a genetic structure to change and produces multiple colored wings, making it possible for this new creature to fly, giving it a beautiful appearance. There's also a transformation of the mind. When it was a caterpillar, all it could do was crawl around. Just crawl around. But after the transformation of its mind, the caterpillar, all of a sudden, is able to fly. Able to fly. This new creature can now rise above. It can now avoid being crushed. It can now outmaneuver its predators. If there hadn't been a change, then nothing would have changed. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You cannot be in Christ and still do what you were doing before you received Christ. Why? Because if you're still repeating the same things, there's obviously been no change, because nothing changes without change. God's plan is that you have a changed mind, a changed heart, a changed walk, a changed talk, and a changed life. Amen. Things you used to do, you can't do anymore. Why? Because you've changed. Places you used to frequent, you choose to avoid. Why? Because you've changed. Impulses that once controlled you become a thing of the past. Why? Because you've changed. A negative outlook has become a positive one. Why? Because you've changed. A self-centered attitude is now focused on others. Why? Because you've changed. There has been a change in you. A change in you. Now, go with me to Luke 17, verse 11 through 17. Luke 17, verse 11 through 17. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? There were 10 men in the Bible that had leprosy. I like to use my spiritual imagination and ponder what happened when these men stood in front of the priest. Perhaps one of them might have said, Mr. Priest, after you pronounced me unclean, after you stripped me of all my dignity and possessions, after you forced me from my home and my family, after you insisted I yell unclean wherever I went, after you left me out there all alone to die, after all I've been through, I just want to ask you this question. How do you like me now? Sin is a form of leprosy. Sin is a form of leprosy. It eats slowly away at a person, killing them in a very humiliating, degrading, and uncomfortable way. In sin, we are clothed in corruption. Our identity is stripped away. You can look at a mirror, but never see a child of God. A spiritual veil is placed over your eyes so that you are blinded to the truth. The devil humiliates you, inspiring you to degrade your body and your mind. He destroys your reputation. He separates you from those that love you and leaves you out there in sin to die all alone. But then one day you meet Jesus and cry unto him, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. He picks you up, turns you around, changes you into a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You get a new walk, a new talk, a new point of view, and a new attitude. No longer are you the same person. No, you've been changed. Something changed because you allowed something to change. The devil had a hold on you and me, but Jesus set us free. Amen? Jesus set us free, folks. There's an old song that goes, I went to a meeting one night, my heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me. It was the Holy Ghost that changed me. It was the Holy Ghost that made me new, and now I am no longer the same. If change is inevitable, then we should desire the real positive changes that only God can bring. Amen? Come on. You know, God can bring change, but God will never change. God brings change, but he will never change. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He speaks truth, and truth never changes. Hebrews 13:8 declares Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes, and since Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh, God's Word never changes. Amen? Hallelujah. Therefore, if it is in the Word of God, it cannot change. It cannot change, regardless of who despises it, regardless of the laws that oppose it. It's not going to change. Listen, folks, if you would allow change and begin taking those steps toward Jesus, he will turn you and your situation around. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of the same junk in your life? Are you sick and tired of wasted years? Are you sick and tired of your present condition? Make a change today. Make a change today. Change from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ. But what if I'm already alive in Jesus and I just want our relationship to keep growing? The change will take you from lost to found, from hurt to healed, from sad to happy, from out of your mind to being in perfect peace. Folks, take the first step. Take the first step. God stands waiting to help you make those changes in your life that are so necessary so that you might enjoy fellowship with him and fulfill his wonderful plan for you. Change begins with that first step. That first step. Will you take a step toward Jesus this morning? He offers you an exchange today. Will you exchange your old life for a new life? Will you lay down the past and take hold of the future? So if you're wanting to change this morning, I just want you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. Amen. Let's stand together, folks. Can we do that?